You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. We did not have a show either Monday or Tuesday. I had some business to take care of, so I will do a little catching up on this show. The illegal alien invasion caravans, and there's several of them, one of them has arrived in Tijuana, Mexico. Yes, that's right next to California. And apparently what happened is they board some buses and sort of surprise move. I won't say they caught the United States totally by surprise, because what's happening right now, they're putting barbed wire up at the border crossing. But what I think is going to happen, and people have speculated, they're not going to charge, you know, several thousand charge the border. What they're going to do is split up in smaller and smaller groups. And what the Border Patrol will tell you is every day, people are crossing into the United States, whether it's into Texas, Arizona, or California. And it's usually small groups of a dozen or less, and guided by coyotes that have been paid, that are usually connected, almost always connected, with the drug cartels. So you get not only drug smuggling, but also human smuggling. It's a sort of a sideline profitable business. But this has been going on for 30 years. This is not new. What's new is we finally have a president of the United States that's going to stand up to it and enforce the law. That's what the American people want. They want the enforcement of immigration law, and those that are already here, and there's a debate as to how many. No one really knows. But it's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. Quite a few, because after 30 years, the last amnesty under Reagan, initially, it was expected that less than a million would get amnesty, in other words, citizenship. They also broke into the country, and that supposedly was going to be the last time that we would have this situation. Well, no surprise here, because if you do not control the border and enforce the law, what happens? It encourages other people to try to break into our country, and that's exactly what's been happening for the last 30 years under both Democratic and Republican administration. And the truth be known, the leadership of both political parties do not want to stop this invasion. They have betrayed the American people, they've betrayed their voter base, and they betrayed their own oaths of office. No country can have open borders. You have to control your borders. But the United States, although one of the most generous countries in terms of allowing immigrants in legally, and we do have a legal process, and I always need to emphasize that. And we've increased the numbers allowed in upwards, and now it's over a million. At one time, it was less than 250,000, which is the historical average for over 100 years. The American people are not demanding that either legal immigration be increased. If anything, they want it limited and controlled and under a million, not a million. Most people that don't follow this are surprised to learn that it's over a million right now, legally. Now, I'm for immigration, provided it's legal, and that is the majority view of the American people. But where the argument really comes in, although there is a debate on the numbers of legals, I want to talk about the illegal alien invasion, because that's where the majority of the American people, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, forget about the political parties for a moment, want it stopped. If you want to know why Donald Trump is president today, you need to go no further than this issue. The American people said, I'd rather have an outsider that says he's going to build a wall, and the American people favor that wall to stop the invasion that's been going on for years, and someone that, as a candidate, said all the illegal aliens that are here must go home. And then if they want to, they can come back provided they follow the law. In other words, they would have to apply, and it probably would take them at least 10 years. They're not going to come back immediately. The American people are strong believers in the rule of law and fairness, and it's fundamentally unfair for illegal aliens to get citizenship. It's usually described as jumping to the head of the line. The reason why we have this problem today is neither Democrats nor Republicans enforce the immigration law. And people watch what's going on. And there's a grapevine. And they know for many years, if you could get inside the United States in one of its cities, keep your head down, in other words, don't get involved in criminal activity, you could live and work here and maybe even get citizenship, like under the what happened when there was a bipartisan effort in the Reagan administration to give citizenship one time for those that met certain requirements. In other words, they've lived in the United States for many years. What the U.S. government has failed, and what both political parties have failed, is to stop this steady, sometimes rapidly growing, sometimes not, but steady flow of people trying to, primarily the people that are coming to the United States illegally, want to better their lot in life. They want a better standard of living. They want the freedoms that you have in the United States. But the United States, like any country in the world, cannot simply throw its borders open and say, well, if you can get here, you're going to be a citizen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there are tens, hundreds of millions of people that would like to live in the United States and get citizenship, become a United States citizen. So we learn that some have of these, they're called caravans, I call them the illegal alien invasion caravan, have arrived. And in the incoming weeks, what's going to happen? Many of them will break into the country, and you won't hear from them again. The ones you'll hear about are the ones that the U.S. Border Patrol detains, apprehends, either at or near the border. And they're going to be, according to the president, they're going to be, I won't say intern, but that's what it is. It's going to be, we're not going to send them home anymore. We're going to lock them up by putting them in housing. And then when their case is heard, most of the people that apply for asylum this way never get it. What's happened in the past, most of them never show up to their court hearing. They disappear. They're in the shadows. That's the term they like to use. The United States government cannot continually encourage people from around the world to try to enter our country illegally. Because if you reward or reinforce behavior, you're just going to get more of it. So I applaud the efforts of this administration to definitely send a strong message, and the message has gone out, that the United States military, together with the U.S. Border Patrol, will stop as many as they can from breaking in. Will it work? I don't know. Now, there's something related to this story that I'm concerned about. Money bills must originate in the House of Representatives. That means both spending bills and tax bills. Right now, we're about a week away from Thanksgiving, and the following month is Christmas. There are fewer and fewer days when Congress is going to be in session. It is the lame duck session, because in January, the House will be taken over by the Democrats for 2 years, and we'll see what happens in 2020. And this, unfortunately, what I was afraid of. And I think Donald Trump, I think, now realize he was played by the Republican leadership, especially in the House, but also in the Senate, to wait to after the election before seeking funding for the wall. And I've been listening to ads by the Republican Party, the minority leader, McCarthy, giving the impression that they're going to fund the wall. Well, they're not. It takes a minimum of $25 billion. And if you want to build it quickly, I'd say go for $30 billion and pass the bill now. Now, why do I say that? Come 2020, if there's no wall, in place, Donald Trump loses. He'll lose his base. The people that came out to support him are expecting, as a minimum, the wall. And that is his major campaign promise, and he hasn't delivered on it. Yes, I understand he can blame Republicans and Democrats for not giving the money, but he should have gotten the money the very first year he was in office, demanded it. He didn't do it. He went along to go along, whatever, how you phrase it. He needs to now demand from the lame duck session both the authorization and appropriation of $30 billion to complete the wall in 1 year, at two at most. He has 2 years, actually less than 2 years, to show the American people that he can keep his promises, and if he does, he'll be reelected in a landslide. So it's in his interest to argue the case. It's fundamentally in the interest of the Republican Party to deliver on that promise. Do I think they're going to do it? No, I really don't. I think you're being betrayed by the Republican Party, and yes, sad to say, you're going to be betrayed by President Trump. That's why I didn't vote for him in 2016. I didn't believe him. I don't trust him. I don't believe him. Now, I can say I made a mistake if he delivers, but I'm not seeing it. You know, President Trump likes to mention, well, we got $1 billion here, $1 billion here. Most of that money was really to repair the existing fence. There's very few miles of new wall actually built. That's the dirty little secret that they don't want to talk about. And the reason is simply they don't have the money, nor do they have the authorization bill to do it. You know, whenever you contract out, if you're a federal government, you're a contracting officer, one of the first things is to make sure you got the money. If you don't have the money, you can't do anything. So Donald Trump needs to step up. He needs to do it now, and he needs to do it with both the Senate and the Republican House leadership. And then he's going to find out that many of those people in the leadership are going to be leaving. Thank God House Speaker Paul Ryan's leaving. Disappointed in him. But he's in the open borders camp. He's part of the problem, and his leaving, to some extent, is part of the solution. You see, the problem with the Republican Party today is they like to talk a good game, but when it comes time to deliver on the talk, they don't. Did they totally repeal and replace Obamacare? No, they didn't do that. As I said several times on this show, you got to repeal the law, repeal the regulations, get rid of all the mandates, not just the individual mandate, every mandate. Get rid of the subsidies, get rid of every tax. Did they do it? No, they didn't. And because of that, more and more people are leaving the Republican Party. They're tired of being lied to, misled. But the same is true with the Democratic Party. At one time, the Democratic Party, and it's not too long ago, were not for open borders and not for doing away with immigration's customs enforcement. They were, at one time, big advocates for protecting American workers, especially union workers, but workers, from competing with illegal aliens. But all that is gone by the board. The strategy of the Democratic Party is they want to replace their voter base over time with illegal aliens that get citizenship. Once they get citizenship, they can vote. Now, they try to not scare you by minimizing their estimates of the number of illegals that are here. The number you hear from Democrats and Republicans, oh, there's only 11 million here. As far as I'm concerned, one is too many. And why 11 million for many people would be acceptable, if they truly knew the real number, and no one is going to speak the real number, because no one knows, but it's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. Because if you go down to the U.S. border and talk to the people that are enforcing the law, they will tell you for every one they apprehend, in other words, catch, a minimum of two or three get away. Because what they do is they spread out. They break through, for example, if it's along the fence, they'll break through and they go in different directions. They scatter. It's like a firecracker starburst. You know how you see in the sky tracers going every which direction? Well, that's what happens when you're trying to break in the country illegally. You don't want to be captured, so you spread out. And what happens, at least two out of three are not caught. They make it to sanctuary cities or counties, and they're living and working and competing with Americans across the country. The American people are tired of it. They don't like it. They especially don't like being ignored, and they have been ignored by both presidents, in whether it's Bush, whether it's Obama, whether it's Clinton. And you've had a very uneven enforcement of the law. The only way you're truly going to stop this is roll back, send home, remove and deport every single illegal alien that's here. First, ask them politely to please leave and give them a date certain that they have to be out of the country. And if they're not, they are going to be deported. See, the Democrats are importing illegal aliens. That's why they hate the term illegal aliens. They're migrants, immigrants. Well, excuse me. By law, if you come enter the United States, you're required to present at an inspection point, port of entry, your passport. I'm sure many of you have traveled abroad. When you arrive, what happens? You got to present your papers, your passport. Sometimes you have to present your shot records. But usually it's the passport, depending on where you're going and coming from, a visa. And if you don't have it, they might throw you in jail for a while and send you immediately out of the country. They don't want you. It's about time that the political leadership of this country get the wax out of their ears and listen to the American people. Because this can turn very, very ugly very, very fast. The American people's patience on this issue is rather short. Unfortunately, the leadership of both parties are ignoring the American people, and that makes this a very dangerous situation. Their time is running out, and I mean Democrats and Republicans. Right now, both parties are divided. They are truly divided. Many of them suffer what I call Mad Trump disease. Some call it Trump derangement syndrome. Really, it's Mad Trump disease. They really do not like the style. Fundamentally, what they disagree with Trump on is his style, his personality, however you want to describe it. And both parties' leadership want Donald Trump to be defeated. They don't want a second term. They deeply resent the fact that an outsider got elected first time he ran for a public office, the President of the United States. He beat not only the Republican candidates, but also the Democratic candidate. And until they can rid the country of Donald Trump, you're going to see what we're seeing now. Many of these people on television are simply lying to you. They're making it up as they go. They're too caught up with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is a manipulator of media. He's a master of it. And the media falls for it almost every time. They're being played for fools, and unfortunately, many of them are fools, and they go for the bait every time. And Donald Trump knows it. So what is the president going to do? He better get the money. Right now, he's not going to get it before Thanksgiving, and they're not coming back until after the Thanksgiving break. And you really have less than 3 weeks, maybe four if you really want to count some of the days before Thanksgiving. Donald Trump better be working the phones, better demanding action to at least have some credibility to say, I asked and I was denied the money for my own political party. And many of them don't have an excuse not to support him. See, one of the reasons why the Democratic Party, remember, this was a midterm election, and usually in midterm elections, the president's party loses big, both in the Senate and the House. That's not unusual. This time, what was somewhat unusual, because President Trump campaigned for many of these people, the Republicans didn't do too bad at all in the Senate. It looks like they might have gained 2 or 3 seats. I thought they could have gained as much as 4 and gotten 56. That's not going to happen. So it looks pretty solid that they'll have 53 and most likely 54 seats. We'll see. That's the good news. The bad news, and again, this was a surprising no one, you had a lot of Republicans that didn't like Trump, didn't want to work with him, decided to leave. As far as I'm concerned, good riddance. So many seats that the Republican Party could have kept became competitive, and the Democrats won. I was not surprised. I was hoping for the best. Unfortunately, the worst happened. So it looks like Nancy Pelosi will replace Paul Ryan as Speaker of the House come January. Will you see much difference? I don't think so, because you're dealing with two political parties that are largely big government parties. Oh, yeah, they have differences as to what they want to spend the money on. But I can tell you right now, and President Trump knows this, neither political party wants to build that wall. The Democrats don't want to because they want all the illegal aliens that are here, and they want to encourage people to come to the United States. They don't make no bones about it. And why that's dangerous is many longtime Democrats, where generations of vote Democrat, are finally realizing that they've been betrayed, double-crossed by their own Democratic Party. They're not happy about it. Doesn't mean they're going to vote Republican, but it does mean they might sit out elections. And if a new party emerges that is strong on immigration issues, as well as limiting government, they need a place to go. Many of them will never vote Republican. I understand that. Just like many Republicans that leave the Republican Party will never vote Democrat. They're looking for a third choice, a choice where there's fundamental differences between that new party and both the Democrats and Republicans. One area is very much immigration. See, Donald Trump picked the right issue to distinguish himself, his brand, if you will, from the rest. And it worked. I could have told him it was going to work. I've been saying that many years before he ran, because I followed this issue for many years. And what you see, polls numbers go up and down. But I'll summarize it. The American people favor legal immigration. They're not against immigration. They do differ as to how many per year. But as long as it's limited, and a million is pretty much the most they want, many want considerably less. So they favor legal immigration. Now, there's some people out there, don't include me, but there's some people out there that don't want any immigration. Or sometimes they'll say, listen, we've had too much legal immigration, and we've had way too much illegal immigration. We need a cooling off period. We need to stop immigration for 10, 20, 30 years until we can assimilate those that are here. I don't agree with that position, but it's arguably can be persuasive. However, and this is where there's a difference between the people and both the Democrat and Republican Party, remember, the American people favor legal immigration. What they deeply resent is year in, year out, the illegal alien invasion of this country. And it is an invasion. It's not an army invading, but it's a continuous, day in, day out, people breaking into the country. That's their first crime. They don't follow the law. They don't present their papers, because many of them don't have any papers, at a port of entry to be inspected. Because they know if they tried it, they'd be sent home. You need a passport, you need a visa, and if you don't have those two, you're not getting in. And you better have a good reason for coming. Now, many people, it's to get a college education, to do business here, to tour the country. But many of those people that come here legally at first like it so much, they overstay their visa. And a good portion of the illegal alien invasion problem is the millions that have done that and overstayed their visa. They're living and working here. And they will continue until the federal government, who has the primary responsibility under the Constitution to enforce immigration law, begins to do so. But when you're dealing with such a large number over such a long period, 30 to 60 million, they're overwhelmed. You need to start somewhere. President Trump said he would start with the so-called criminal illegal aliens. And I really think very few Americans disagree with that. They don't want murderers, rapists, people that assault and battery people. They don't want robbers, thieves from other nations at all. And if they're caught and convicted, sent back. But there's the problem. You got to go through the legal process. And even if you deport them, they can come back illegally. The crisis we face has been building and building and building, and it's a lack of effort by several administrations, Democrat and Republican, not really dealing with it. The message needs to be loud and clear. Anyone breaking into this country will not work here, will be deported, and any nation they're coming from will accept them back, or else. You don't reward behavior, especially criminal behavior, because if you do, you're only going to see more and more and more of it. That's why poll after poll of the American people, why they're fine with legal immigration, they are definitely opposed by big majorities illegal immigration, what I call the illegal alien invasion. They don't want them here. No one's inviting them, but why do we have it? Well, the Democratic Party made a decision, at least I'd say more than 10 years ago, 10 to 15 years ago, that the way they will stay in power and gain more power and eventually control this country is by advocating for open borders. Now they're really coming out of the closet, if you will, and openly saying. And the political calculation is easy to see. If over time we can get citizenship for all the illegal aliens that are already here, as well as those that keep on coming, once they have citizenship, we will have control of more and more House districts, more and more Senate seats, and yes, more and more cities, counties across the United States. That's what they're about. What they really have, I think, underestimated is the fact that the American people don't want this. Many are Democrats. Many more are Republicans, and a lot more are independents. Now, the left in this country supports this. That is one of the ways they can get power. This is all about political power, getting it, keeping it, and controlling you and me. Now, they don't come out and say it that directly, but that's what they're doing. And they do fool the American people. Why? You have what I call big lie media. Your television networks and newspapers, the few that still remain, largely supporting the Democratic Party. There are exceptions. So it is big lie media that tells the big lies. And if you watch it, they're all anti-Trump. And they're all for the Democratic candidate and agenda, whatever that is. And they're not going to change. It's not only CNN. It's the ABC, CBS, and NBC. They also control the bureaucracy, the federal bureaucracy. So I don't envy the challenge that Donald Trump has, because I think the majority of people support him. He's up against two political parties that want to get rid of him by fair means or foul, and a media that's largely any opportunity they have are dumping on Trump. Now, that doesn't mean that the people are believing the media. If anything, they don't. They don't trust big lie media at all. Many of them have stopped listening to the news on the television networks, and there are fewer and fewer papers around. But still, they dominate the conversation. And why there are few in talk radio, as well as some on Fox, not all, that will support where they can the actions of the Trump administration. Many conservatives are, quite frankly, surprised in several areas that Trump has been very good on, and one of the obvious ones is his two appointments to the Supreme Court. But there's an overwhelming problem that neither the Democratic Party is addressing, and frankly, if they had power, would make it fundamentally worse. But neither the Republican Party, and for that matter, the Trump administration. And what I'm talking about is government spending is out of control. So that is an issue that will continue to get worse and worse. And one of the reasons is you have the baby boom generation, of which Donald Trump is on the leading edge, so am I, that were born between 1946 and 1964. Oh, more than a third have already retired and are collecting Social Security and Medicare, but more and more will be retiring in the next 12 years, six of which might be under a Trump administration. So the deficits, the national debt, the deficits will get bigger, the national debt is going to get bigger, and yes, unfunded liabilities are going to explode. The federal government will increasingly, as this happens, face big challenges. They're either going to have to cut Social Security and Medicare benefits, as well as welfare programs, or dramatically increase taxes. In other words, the bills will come due. And it will happen in the next 12 years. And it'll get worse and worse and worse. And you're going to have a lot of people that put their faith in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party and now be shown what they should have been paying attention to and throwing both parties out of office. They're simply irresponsible. They're not earning their pay. They're not doing their job. They're not financially sound. And the Democratic Party just wants to make it worse. They believe that besides giving citizenship to anyone that can get here, will dramatically replace the voters that have either died or left the party. They think that Santa Claus socialism is the way. And they fooled the young because colleges today are dominated by progressives. That's another word for socialist communist. They think the answer is that where socialism and communism has failed over and over again. And the welfare, what I call the warfare welfare state, ultimately will fall. They run out of money and places to take it from. And sometime in the 2020s, at the very latest the 2030s, there'll be dramatic tax increases and dramatic benefit cuts, entitlement cuts. We could and should be addressing this many years ago, but we didn't, because what's really short in Washington, D.C. is leadership from both parties. They're very much short-term focused, and their focus is to keep power and to expand their power. So the caravans are going to be arriving. Trump or our U.S. Border Patrol, backed up by our military, will try to stop them. But most of them, eventually, will get into the United States. I don't think they're going to charge the border. No, they're going to split up. Because why? That works. It works. It's working today. All the attention, because of the election and because President Trump focused that attention on this, is on the caravans, largely from people from fleeing Honduras and Guatemala. You see, by law, if you're truly trying to get asylum, the first country you're in, which is Mexico, is where you have to seek asylum. You don't get to pick and choose. But most of these people want to be in the United States. They don't want to stop in Mexico, even though some have and some have reversed that decision. There are jobs in Mexico, folks. The problem is they don't pay well. So the illegal aliens say, listen, the best place in the world to be is the United States. And I've had a break into Mexico, and they did. The Mexican government tried to stop them, but failed. And some of these people are very, very dangerous. Most of them are young men, by the way. Oh, yes, there's some women with children, but the vast majority of them are young men, don't speak English, and many will join gangs and assist in the distribution of drugs. Immigration is not only a jobs issue, it's a crime issue, it's a drug issue, it's also a national security issue. So the first wave, if you will, is at least arrived in Tijuana. Now, what happens next? Wait and see. And we'll have probably many stories in the months and weeks and months to come. Now, November 6th, we had an election. And for most states, most counties, we knew the results, if not that evening, by the next morning. But there's always a few states, especially where the races are close, that seem to always have problems. And one of those is Florida, especially Broward County. And yes, by now, you know, they're having a machine count. They're recounting every ballot. And there have been lawsuits by both Democrats and Republicans. See, I didn't vote, and I really don't care who wins. I hope they go at each other. And that's what they're doing, revealing themselves. But they're discovering votes, ballots, not votes, ballots, provisional ballots. Excuse me? The election was the 6th. By the 7th, we had the results. I'm not in Florida, but the Republican won in terms of the Senate seat, and that's Scott, the current governor. DeSantis won in terms of the governors. Two Republicans won. Well, that's not supposed to happen. The Democrats thought they were going to win. Okay. You didn't accept it. No, they won't accept it. So if they can't win an election, they'll try to steal it. Like I said, I have no one to vote for, no party that reflects my political philosophy. And it's really up to the people of Florida to change this. It is scandalous, but it's apparent that these people have no shame. Like I said, if they can't win it fair and square, they'll do what they have to do to win. Now, I'm the first to say if you lose an election by a couple of hundred ballots, votes, that, yeah, there should be a recount. But in both of these elections, we're not talking hundreds, we're talking thousands. As a matter of fact, tens of thousands. It should not in any way that result should be changed, because if it is, I think many voters in Florida are going to be, let's say, marching, screaming, If you want to see how focused they are on power, they can't accept that they defeated themselves. Really, if you were a good incumbent, you should always have the incumbent advantage, and Nelson does, the current senator until January. They don't have the good grace, the good sportsmanship, however you want to call it, character, to accept the will of the people in terms of the vote. So we're going to hear stories, and I'm going to cover them and give you my 2 cents. They're currently counting the votes, and by 3 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time, 2 o'clock Dallas time, supposedly we're going to finally get the results from Florida. That's what you're going to think. That is the machine recount. But then what's going to happen? For at least one of these races, they're going to have a hand count. Florida, and especially certain counties in Florida, are becoming a joke. But what's not a joke is the American people are seeing this, and they don't like what they see. Someone wins fair and square, he should win, and the candidate, whether he has the office or not, should have the good grace to concede. But that's not happening in Florida. And I think it will continue, especially in Broward County. So I'll watch it. I'm amused. In a way, see, I'm looking for the birth, the formation of a new political party that will replace at least one of the current parties, if not both. Because I see in the increasing number of independents, and that's what I would focus on, more and more people have said, I'm not going to be a Republican anymore. I'm not going to be a Democrat anymore. I'll vote independent. And if I see a good candidate or a good new party, I'll vote for them. They simply are tired of the lies, the deceptions of both parties. They've had enough of it. What that means is many of them just stay home like I did. What's the point? What's the difference between the two candidates? I know there are differences, but what happens when they get to Washington, D.C.? You got to go along to get along. Yes, I'm for term limits. You shouldn't have more than 12 years in the House, 12 years in the Senate. Then you should be required to go home. In other words, prohibited from running again by law. Are the current people in power going to do that? No, they're not. That's why if you look at the leadership of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, these people have been here for decades. Decades. They want to stay until they die. And it's telling. And I applaud the splits in the Democrat and Republican parties. It looks like they're going to self-destruct. Good. That means a new party can come along quicker, and we need it sooner rather than later. We need to downsize the federal government, cut it in half. Is any Democrat or Republican proposing that? No. They want to double the size. They're out of their minds. They're crazy. That's why I call them the lying lunatic lefters losers. And they're really losers. Yeah, some of them win. But how are they going to deal with the problem? Spend, tax, borrow. Spend, tax, borrow. Now, they like to call it investment. It's not an investment. They don't have a clue how to get the United States out of this mess. That's why most of them do nothing to address our financial problem. And it's a huge, massive problem. So we'll know, hopefully tomorrow. I'll report it if we do. I think you're going to see the two Republicans win again, but then you're going to have another recount. This time, a manual or hand recount. And that's when it's going to get interesting. They're not gracious losers. Far from it. They have a big sense of entitlement that they own the office. Well, they don't. And people should throw out these bums, because many of them are bums. I'm not impressed if you look at the true financial situation of the United States. And you can't just blame it on the current people in office. This has been going on for decades under Democrat and Republican administrations. And the American people have no one to blame but themselves, and I'm including me in that. Because if you're not informed, if you don't pay attention, and all you do is vote either Democrat or Republican, not considering what it's doing to this country, both economically, how it's fundamentally dividing the country, and people just simply lying about people, making charges they know are false, using racism to divide the people. It's scandalous. I think you can understand why I won't vote for either party. Definitely can't vote for the Democratic Party, but unfortunately, I say that more and more of the Republican Party. See, many Republicans wanted results. They wanted Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, totally repealed and replaced, thought when they were voting Republican, that's what should happen, and it didn't happen. And now they're looking for that wall, and they're going to be disappointed, because it's not going to be built. because both political parties want to defeat Trump. And by making sure that wall is not built, they will defeat him. And Trump can blame Democrats, Republicans, all he wants. See, the voters want promises made to be kept. And when they're not kept, even if there are valid reasons why they weren't kept, they're not very forgiving. They want leaders that get results. And when leaders do not get results on their number one campaign issue, namely building the wall and deporting the illegal aliens that are here, whoever that person is, in this case, Donald Trump, doesn't deserve a second term. And that's precisely what the Democrats and Republicans are doing. You see, they are very much divided amongst themselves. And the American people's patience for this, I think, is running out. There's always the true believers, the Kool-Aid drinkers, the invincibly ignorant that will be the loyalists, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. They're the biggest problems, and they're the ones that are most dangerous. But to the extent that they turn on the American people, I mean turn on, betray the American people are not going to put up with this, whether it's from Democrats or Republicans. They're tired of the people that talk or say one thing and then do the opposite. There are going to be a lot of surprises coming. Now, one other thing that I want to play, I haven't played a clip in a while. President Trump doesn't give many press conferences. Neither did Barack Obama. Now, I think I can understand why Barack Obama didn't want him. He likes to go on and on. He thinks he knows it all. He didn't like to be contradicted. He didn't like to be questioned. He thought he knew it all and knew what was best for you and really disdained the press. Now, I think Donald Trump is similar, but he likes to play with the press, manipulate the press, get the best of the press. I say press, you know, there are fewer and fewer newspapers. I'm really talking largely television networks, but there are local papers and some city papers left. And it's time-consuming to prepare for any type press conference. So you didn't see many under the Obama administration. You're not seeing very many under the Trump administration. Now, he will take questions when he's walking to his helicopter, but they're just few formal press conferences. And we had one. There were upwards of, well over 150 people there. And President Trump, I think very deliberately, and I will play, I think many of you have probably seen it, and it's well worth seeing. He deliberately called on Jim Acosta. Now, the press knows that Jim Acosta is a showboater. And guess what? If you call on a showboater, he wants attention. He craves attention. He thinks he knows it all. He thinks he's better than the president. Now, the way to handle Jim Acosta, there's two ways. One is to confront him, and that's the way Donald Trump does it. Or ignore him. Don't call on him. You got 150 people in a room? Call anyone but him. And keep in mind, there are not many people called. Usually what presidents do is they will call the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and your major papers. And then mixed in, they know they have some friendly people that they've been interviewed by, and that's it. So if you have 150 plus people, maybe a dozen, 20, one or two dozen, 12 to 24 will be called on, and you usually get one question, and maybe a second question to clarify the answer of the first. You don't get to monopolize the situation, and that's what Jim Acosta tries to do. So let me play this brief interview. I say interview, question and answer.
Yes. So then, wait a minute, then the follow-up. Then.
You heard my answer. Go ahead.
Well, since it's Jim, I'll let it go.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign. In the midterms, that that this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me.
And why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign.
You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. Your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
But they weren't actors. They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. All right. And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
You see, Jim Acosta has that reputation. This is standard fare. But he's disrespecting the presidency of the United States, the office. Now, the camera was focused in on the president. You didn't see what was happening. You had an intern, a woman, who's responsible for taking the microphone from whoever asked the last question and giving the microphone to whoever the president calls on. I played this for a couple of reasons. The president, and he didn't have to do this, initially allowed for some follow-up questions. He gave him more than most people get when they ask a question. You ask one question, the president answers, and then you go to the next one. Now, if there's a follow-up and the president wants to do it, and he did initially with Acosta, fine. But Acosta doesn't want to sit down. He's monopolizing and trying to be the center of attention. Remember, he is a guest in the White House. And you have more than 100, 150 other reporters, journalists from various networks, publications, including some from foreign nations abroad, Europe, Asia. Only a few will get the president's attention and be able to ask a question. And there were some good questions. I wish presidents would give more press conferences. And if you remember the campaign, Donald Trump was very good in having, and I wish he would go back to it, I know he won't, but during the campaign, he would stand there and take as many questions as they had and answer them, but now the situation has changed. He's the president of the United States, and I frankly don't care about the commentary or the opinion of any reporter in that room. They're reporters, journalists that are supposed to report the story. They are not commentators, and that's what Jim Acosta was doing. Now, initially, remember, the president called on him. That was his first mistake. It wasn't a mistake. He intentionally wanted to do this. But Jim Acosta, I think, blew it. Now, he doesn't. He way went over the line. He did. He was insulting the office. He was insulting Trump. He was embarrassing the press. He was impolite. You could call it aggressive. I call it, he was being Jim Acosta. He was an ass, a fool. Now, what happened? And you need to see the video, because I can't do justice. They pulled his press credentials. He was going out the door, and there's a video on it. I can't play it. But the guard, part of the Secret Service, the uniform part, took his press credentials. It was on film. And then later, what happened? CNN has a lawsuit. I hope President Trump wins. Now, the press is saying, well, he has a right to be in there. Jim Acosta was unprofessional. He was an embarrassment. But Jim Acosta doesn't think that. He thinks he was doing his job. No, he was being Jim Acosta, showboat ass. I would never allow him in. He went way over the line, and I hope they drag it out. Now, the press has to say, well, freedom of the press, he's allowed in. It's a privilege. Not everyone that wants to be in that room for that press conference gets to come in. And he violated propriety, common courtesy, and disrespected the President of the United States. And I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Barack Obama. What he did was uncalled for. And they should have yanked his press credentials. And even if the court should decide, and I don't know how they're going to decide, I just hope they back the president. The president doesn't want you there. You're not going to get in and shouldn't get in. If he does, never call on him again. Freeze him out. And what the press should do is shun him for his inappropriate behavior. And if CNN had any guts, they'd fire him. They're not going to do it. That's Jim Acosta's stick. Obnoxious, you know what. I would support banning him permanently from the White House and allowing CNN to replace him with someone else that has a minimum amount of respect for the presidency. But ladies and gentlemen, that is the press today. I call it junk journalism. Donald Trump calls it fake news. You see, the media in this country, big lie media, is not used to politicians, especially Republicans, going after them. They've had it too easy. Many presidents just ignore them. That's what Obama largely did. And he had the support of the press. Largely, the media in this country is liberal progressive. They're in the tank for the Democrats. And I think that's one of the reasons that President Trump doesn't have many press conferences, because he knows they're not his friends, not that they should be. And let me make clear, I'm for asking any president, any politician, they serve at the pleasure of the United States citizens, and they should be asked tough questions. But that's different than trying to editorialize, make a comment. You see, I agree with President Trump. It is an invasion. People don't like to call it that. Oh, it's immigration, migrants. No, this has been going on for over 30 years, millions are illegally in this country, and it's about time the federal government do its job and throw these people out. That's the law. Enforce the law. In a nutshell, that's what the American people want. So we'll see how this plays out. I hope the president wins, but I'm not optimistic there. And it'll be appealed. Keep Jim Acosta out of the White House. Eventually, CNN, if it wants to have representation there, we'll replace him. There's nobody that's irreplaceable, especially an obnoxious so-called journalist. He's not a journalist. If he wants to be a commentator, get your own show if you can. But stop this nonsense. And it is nonsense. I'm not impressed. And my advice to the president is stop calling on him. Freeze him out. Freeze him out. And apparently, maybe that's what President Trump wants. And I'm glad they took his press credentials, and I hope they never give him back. And I'm willing to bet that is where the American people are. Now, the press are always going to circle the wagons, because it could happen to me. I understand that. But if you're as obnoxious, disrespectful as Jim Acosta was, it should happen to you. It doesn't happen to journalists, I'll use that word with quotes around it, that show proper courtesy, respect, and ask the tough questions and try to get the follow-up. I have no problem with trying to get a follow-up question. But to try to monopolize and become the center of attention of this press conference, he was totally, completely out of line. Where is press criticizing Acosta? They're not. Now, there have been some, but they're trying to back him. This guy doesn't deserve it, and I hope he never gets back in the White House. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com